Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With millions of Texans suddenly out of work due to no fault of their own because of the response to COVID-19, they were told that unemployment benefits would be their lifeline. But there have been major roadblocks to getting many people connected to their benefits. What are these glitches and what happens now? How is that being addressed? Did you file for unemployment? How is that working out? We want to hear from you. Call in. The number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this hour by Cisco Gomez. He is the Media and Public Relations Specialist for the Texas Workforce Commission. Cisco Gomez, welcome to The Source.
Hey, Dave. Thanks so much for having me on.
Also with us, Adrian Lopez, CEO of Workforce Solutions Alamo. Adrian Lopez, good to have you.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
And Keith Phillips joins us, the Senior Economist and Assistant Vice President at the San Antonio branch of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, professor at the College of Business at the University of Texas at San Antonio. Good to have you back, Professor Keith Phillips.
Good afternoon, David.
So, Professor Phillips, start off right away. We had you on about 6 months ago. We're talking about the economic forecast for Texas, and you didn't tell us that this was going to happen. Why not?
Yeah, that's correct. I didn't tell you. I think the title of my slide in January was Economic Expansion to Continue. And I mean, in a way, it was good that we started the year off on a strong note. Manufacturing was picking up and services continued very strong, although we had some weakness in mining. But obviously, this came out of nowhere, at least for a lot of economists. Maybe healthcare professionals had a better insight. But yeah, the economy, it was kind of like a hurricane hit the entire nation at the same time and just continued to blow for about a month. So it was unexpected and dramatic.
And has anything like this ever happened before, going from such good unemployment numbers to some of the worst?
Well, not this dramatic since I've been alive. They say the Spanish flu in 1918 was similar, but I wasn't around at that time.
We didn't have good data either. But the point being is, like, of course, we're going to be talking a lot about how there have been some shortcomings with the Texas Workforce Commission's ability to get checks out to people and trying to respond to their questions. But we're dealing with an unprecedented situation. No one could have anticipated that there would have been this amount of demand on the system coming so quickly. I mean, is that a reasonable thing to keep in mind as we talk about this, Professor Phillips?
Yeah, I think there was something out yesterday about, obviously, this was a huge, and the Workforce Commission, Cisco will, I'm sure, talk about this, but it was a huge, it's kind of like a dam breaking on a river. You know, the river has certain properties to handle so much water, and but when the dam breaks, it's hard to contain it. But there was some infrastructure issues at the Workforce Commission, I think, in terms of the computer system that they were about to address, but unfortunately that hadn't happened yet. So I think after all this is done, probably the Workforce Commissions across the country will look and learn from each other kind of what states, since it happened to all states basically at the same time, they can look at each state and figure out what states were able to handle it better and why, and learn from that.
And Cisco Gomez, Media and Public Relations Specialist for the Texas Workforce Commission. How is the Texas Workforce Commission performing right now? I mean, are you able to see clients in person? Are your offices open? Is everything online totally?
So unemployment, people applying for unemployment insurance has always been over the phone or online. So it's not something that's done in person. So, but I can tell you that since the week ending March 14th, we've helped over 2.6 million Texans apply for unemployment insurance. And kind of based on the 2019 numbers, that's over 3 years, almost close to 4 years of work in just a little over 2 months' time. So we are hustling. It's all hands on deck. We want to help all Texans in need. And certainly if they're eligible, they're going to receive those benefits. But just, you know, it was just a massive number of people filing for unemployment. And we're doing our best to keep up and help everyone that's in need.
Adrian Lopez, the CEO of Workforce Solutions Alamo. What are you seeing in regards to unemployment here in the San Antonio Bexar County region?
Yeah, so of course, Workforce Solutions Alamo covers a 13-county region, including Bexar County. So as of last week, there are approximately about 177,000 unemployment claims for the region. 80% of that is going to be in the Bexar County, San Antonio area.
And these unemployment claims, are they getting checks?
Yes, and that's more of a question for Cisco, but yes, people are receiving their checks, I believe, but Cisco can refer to how much actually has been paid out.
All right, so let's get to that. What does a basic check look like? This is before we're supposed to get an additional $600 from the federal government, right?
Yeah, so what somebody receives on unemployment insurance is going to vary on case-by-case basis. The maximum you can receive from regular Texas unemployment insurance is $521 a week. That's the maximum amount. So between week of April 4th through the end of July 25th, the week ending July 25th, people can receive an additional $600 weekly benefits added to that, added to their benefit payments. So since this all began week ending March 14th, the Texas Workforce Commission has paid out over $6.4 billion in benefits using state and federal funds. Specifically, that extra $600 weekly benefits, that amounts to about $3.9 billion of that.
So what is the average check? You said the maximum is 521. What is the average?
I don't have that information. I apologize.
Okay.
I can't tell you what that average is.
But it could, it does vary according to how much they were making beforehand.
So yeah, there's a calculator on our website. You can put in some of your data, and it can tell you what you would be receiving if you were eligible for unemployment insurance.
All right, so we are talking about what's happening with unemployment insurance, but also some of the other aspects of being unemployed in the COVID-19 response. And we've had all these businesses shut down. Now we're seeing businesses being allowed to reopen and partially or fully, depending on what that is. And the question is whether or not these people who have lost their jobs or they were furloughed or they were told to go home, we'll let you know whether or not they are still actually unemployed and if they are entitled benefits. And what about gig workers? Who is entitled to an unemployment check? And why is it so important in regards to looking at the entirety of our economy and getting back to some sense of normal? So we'll take your calls if you have been trying to get unemployment benefits and haven't been able to get through. We know that it's been hard to get through the busy signal. You can talk to our experts right here. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues right after this. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about unemployment, and it shot up after the COVID-19 response. And what's happening to the people who have lost their jobs? What about the benefits that we provide for them? Is that working? Are the checks getting into the hands of the people who need it? You can call in with your questions and comments. Number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Did you find yourself out of a job and were you able to get those benefits? 833-877-8255. And let's go to Bryce on the phones. And Aaron Bryce, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Bryce. So I applied for unemployment well over a month ago, and my most recent job was in Texas. But most of my wages from 2019 are in California. I designated that I worked in multiple states and California as the state that I worked at in the application form, but Texas Workforce Commission still doesn't have any of my California wages, so I'm getting $0.00 each payment request. Is there anything I can do to expedite this process, like send my W-2 from my California job to someone at Texas Workforce Commission? Because I've received no updates and I have all that information.
All right, Bryce, thank you for that call. Cisco Gomez is the Media and Public Relations Specialist for Texas Workforce Commission. Anything you can tell Bryce?
So if my understanding is that, Bryce, are you an independent contractor or is this for regular unemployment insurance?
And Bryce?
A regular employee.
Can you say that again?
Yeah. I was a regular employee for both those jobs.
Okay, Cisco.
So, yeah, I'm not sure. Depending on if he's most of his wages are from out of state, I believe that he'll have to apply for unemployment insurance in California. But I'd have to check with the team to make sure.
But it does show that these are complicated issues. People working in multiple states. Why is that why is that so hard to figure out, Cisco?
It's just, from my understanding, it's based on if your base wages are in another state, then you should be applying for unemployment in that state. This isn't I don't think it's a federal program. This is a state unemployment. So we're looking at wages that are based in Texas. So we're able to work with that. I'm not on the side where I can say this. We can make this into a federal program where everybody can.
Sure.
You know, so I'm just letting you know from my understanding of it. But I think that I would encourage Bryce to check in with California if the majority of his base wages are there. But certainly if he's not able to get more information, he can call. I know it's difficult to get through. I would encourage people that are having trouble getting through over the phone to try calling early in the morning, the first hours of 7 a.m., or towards the end of 7 p.m. or closer to the end of 7 p.m. Also on the weekends, even though there still are a lot of number of people trying to call, the weekends have a lower traffic, so that might also be another opportunity. Also, one more thing. On our website, we have something called Larry the Chatbot. It answers a lot of questions. There's a lot of opportunity to help with resetting passwords, resetting PIN numbers. It's been upgraded. It's helped nearly a million people and answered answered over 3 million, close to 4 million questions. That might be an avenue to check in and see if they can get some assistance through that system.
Now, Cisco Gomez, you said that it's hard to get through, and some people would call that an understatement. I saw a figure saying that it's been like 3.5 million calls have come into the Texas Workforce Commission, and 3.1 million of them have received busy signals.
So, day by day, it's going to vary the number of calls that we get, but we have seen consistently over a million calls per day. That's not the number of people filing for unemployment. It's just the number of calls coming through. Generally, the number of unique callers is around 100,000 to 90,000, something like that. The numbers are starting to go down a little bit, but it's still a lot of calls. Prior to COVID-19, our average number of calls were around 13,000 a day. The record before COVID-19 was 60,000 in one day. So receiving, 1.3, 1.2, last week, those are some of the average numbers, 1.2 million calls. Initially, weeks before that, we were reaching around 3 million calls a day.
All right. Let me go to Kino on the phones. And Kino, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I also have a similar experience with being unable to get a hold. So when I call, it's a constant busy line. And the problem is I just got off of active duty and I don't have a Texas driver's license, but I own a home in Bexar County. But I can't seem to apply online because I don't have a Texas driver's license, and I can't get through on the phone, so I'm kind of stuck.
Also, you can't get a new driver's license right now either, can you?
Right, because the DMVs are closed.
So he's in a catch-22. Cisco Gomez, what do you think?
Yeah, again, with the phone lines, we want to reach everyone. We want to talk to everyone. A call like that is going to take a little bit of time when people are needing assistance filing or getting that set up. So it's not a quick, hello, can I help you? Let me push this button and we're done. So, Kino, I'm sorry that you're having trouble getting through. I would, if you have a chance, check the chatbot. Just see if there's a way that you can put some of that information in, needing to speak to a representative, and give that a try. Tell them that you have trouble filing and see where you can get through. But again, also try calling first thing in the morning, just before, maybe between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. And sometime over the weekend. We have over 1,000 people answering the calls. We also have staff that are calling people back. So we're looking for those issues, looking for problems, and we are calling them back. So, Kino, I know in your situation, you aren't able to apply because you don't have that Texas driver's license, but we want to help you and also know that you won't just receive, if you're eligible, you won't just receive benefits from the time that you apply. We're going to backdate those benefits, so you're receiving those potentially as far back as March 8th, depending on when you stop working or when your hours were reduced.
All right, we do have a voicemail, and let's give it a listen.
Yes, this is Joe. I have been doing a lot of service work for the hotel motel industry, and since that has gone away, my business has dried up. And I applied for benefits from the Texas Workforce Commission, and I got denied. And based on all the information that I could acquire, that the government set aside funds for people who are self-employed, like myself, and barbers, and hair salons, and whoever does gig work, I guess it would be called. And I'd like to know if the state is withholding benefits to people like me throughout the state, or are they justified?
All right. So Adrian Lopez, CEO of Workforce Solutions Alamo, what can you do to help people like our caller, Joe, who he was a gig worker and now he's having trouble connecting to benefits? What do you see for him?
Yeah, definitely. The benefits question is again, a TWC question. However, let me just kind of tell you how Workforce Solutions Alamo fits into this, right? So when we look at the unemployment numbers, I mentioned earlier about 177,000 of those folks who have filed for unemployment in this region. The hardest hit sectors are the accommodation and food services and retail trade. And so when we look at those numbers, approximately about 45,000 to 50,000 folks that have been affected working in those sectors. We've been talking to industry leaders throughout the region, and the folks in those particular sectors are saying potentially 25 to 30% of those jobs are no longer going to exist moving forward. And even the jobs that are going to come back, it'll come back on a staged or phased process. So, that's an unfortunate situation. And so what I would encourage folks who worked in those industries or worked in those sectors and depended on those sectors to potentially, start looking at what other options are out there for him. And that's where Workforce Solutions comes into play, because we can provide subsidized training and opportunities for people to go into, industries that are going to continue to hire as we move forward.
All right. So let's go to Cisco Gomez about Joe's particular problem. And I want to talk more about what you just said about people may have to think about new careers, adaptation, and stuff like that, Adrian Lopez, and the services you should provide. But Cisco Gomez, if you're a gig worker, are you entitled to unemployment benefits?
Yes, you are. Under the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, PUA, that's part of the CARES Act. And to date, we have paid out over $282 million. I would like to say, in regards to Joe's situation, or anyone who's self-employed or independent contractor, when you first apply for unemployment benefits, you can do that at ui.texasworkforce.org. When you first apply, it's going to deny you. That's going to be the first thing. I'm sorry that he was surprised by that. I'm appreciative that we have the chance to talk about this. The reason he's going to get denied because we don't have any past wages in our system initially because he didn't have an employer submitting that information to us. But once his claim is denied, it's going to get converted to PUA, Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, and that will allow us to look into his situation and let him know of his eligibility. There'll be notification within a couple of days, or within a week, but generally just pretty soon. So maybe after Joe left this message, there was a situation where he might have got a notification from us saying, "Hey, you are potentially eligible. We need you to submit your 2019 wages for or 2019 taxes and your schedules." So here's my advice to people who are self-employed or independent contractors. If you're applying for unemployment insurance, if your hours were reduced, if you're not working right now, when you go to the website, ui.texasworkforce.org, select reduced hours as your type of job separation. Then if your business has been impacted by COVID-19, you should select that option as well. Then the questions that need to be answered will be revealed. And again, initially you'll be denied, but then you'll get a notification on your eligibility and instructions on how to submit your tax forms. That said, people who are self-employed, who are eligible, initially will receive a $207 weekly benefit amount. So you have to request payments every 2 weeks. On top of that, you'll get the additional $600 weekly benefits from the CARES Act added to your benefit payments, and that's available between the beginning of April to the end, near the end of July. So when you submit your tax forms, it's going to take a little bit of time, but the Texas Workforce Commission will review those. If you are eligible for an increase up to a maximum of $521 per week, then they'll increase those benefit payments, and then they'll backdate your past ones so that you get that full amount of benefits. And you have all the way until December 26th of this year to submit that 2019 tax form. So just want to make sure that's clear. So I apologize to Joe and everybody else. Again, when you're an independent contractor, we don't have those past wages in our system. So it's going to initially deny you, but you will just keep a lookout on your email, check back in, and you will do that. You will see that notification regarding eligibility.
All right. We're talking about unemployment in Texas right now. We know the numbers are not good. At least 2 million Texans filed for unemployment from March 15th to May 9th due to widespread layoffs and furloughs triggered by the protective measures that we put in to slow down the spread of COVID-19. Now, this surge of initial claims overwhelmed the state's unemployment offices system. Now, that system was due for an overhaul and upgrade, but it didn't happen in time. So we're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. Also, we'll be talking about more if you have questions about who is eligible for unemployment benefits and how to get them. What if you were denied? How do you, appeal that? As businesses are reopening, will it make it harder for individuals to get benefits? We're talking about having to show that you are looking for work again, those benefits, in order to receive those benefits. This is as Texas is loosening the requirements for distancing and then shutdown rules. So a call in, the number is 833-877-8255. 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about unemployment in the age of coronavirus. If you have a question, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Jacqueline is on the phones. Jacqueline, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. So my question is regarding my son, who we're not allowing him to go to work right now. He lives with us, and we're not allowing him to go to work since the pandemic started because we have two at-risk family members at home with us. And he's still on the roster for work, so he hasn't been fired, but he has no hours. And I was just wondering, why isn't there an option for that? I mean, if we had to choose between the life of our family versus him going to work. And it's been financially hard on us, because when he became financially independent, it was much easier on us. And so now we're sharing that burden again. So I was just wondering, are there options? I haven't seen them. And will there be options, or why aren't there options?
All right, let's go to Cisco Gomez, Media and Public Relations Specialist for the Texas Workforce Commission. What are the policies?
All right, so the Texas Workforce Commission has sent out some press releases to put out some information. There are some situations where people can refuse work and still be eligible for unemployment insurance. You can find that information on our website, and I'm sure by the end of this program they can find it on your website as well. But some of the things to consider is that you can still receive unemployment benefits and refuse going back to work because you're at high risk. That could be someone that's 65 or older, or it could be someone that has some kind of health conditions. We have those listed out on the DSHS website. You can find that link on our website. If your household member is at high risk, if you're diagnosed with COVID-19, if your family member has COVID-19 or you're quarantined, or if you don't have childcare, all those are good cause reasons for not being able to return to work and still being potentially eligible for unemployment insurance. We're kind of reviewing those on a case-by-case basis, but I would encourage your son to talk to the employer and let them know of the situation, just saying, hey, this is what's going on, just so that everyone's on the same page. That employer may be able to work with you and keep you. But certainly if you are not working right now due to COVID-19 for COVID-19 reasons, that is a type of job separation, and you could be eligible for unemployment benefits. So we want to, we understand your situation and we want to be able to help you.
Keith Phillips, Senior Economist, Assistant Vice President at the San Antonio Branch of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, and Professor at the College of Business at the University of Texas at San Antonio. How bad is it right now, unemployment? What is our number?
Okay, so Friday, in 2 days, we get the big number, and that's for April. The April number for the U.S. was 14.7% unemployment, and based on the initial claims data that have been filed, we expect the unemployment rate for Texas to be about the same as the U.S. We estimate about 14.2% unemployment in April, and with the claims data since then through mid-May, we expect about 19.5% unemployment rate in May.
So it's expected to get worse?
Yeah, it'll be higher in May, close to 20%.
That's impossible, really, to imagine. I mean, 20% unemployment, one out of every five people not able to work.
Yeah, well, you think, this was not like a normal economic shock, like a housing crisis or an oil price increase, and the economy has to adjust. This was a mandated shutdown of many industries to prevent the spread of a deadly virus. So, I mean, you drive around San Antonio and look at how many hotels and restaurants and bars you see, and it's clearly easy to think that 20% of people were not working in April and early May. So, it's dramatic, but it's also not too much of a shock considering what we had to do to contain the virus.
Sure. In San Antonio specific data or our metropolitan area?
Well, San Antonio is likely worse than the state. Typically, San Antonio actually does better in recessions than both the national average and the state, because we tend to have less cyclical industries. But this time is different, and we have a much larger tourism sector than the national average or the state average. The state and nation have about 10% employment in leisure and hospitality, and San Antonio is about 12%. Plus, we have, if you look at all the industries that were directly hit, we have a higher share of those industries, and we have less workers who are able to work from home based on several studies we've done. So it's really bad in the state, really bad in the nation, and it's probably worse in San Antonio. But that's just because of the share of industries that we have and what we had to do in order to contain the virus.
When we're not looking at a V-shaped situation where we're going to have a quick bounce back, I've heard it described as a hockey stick, a slow growth to get back where we were in 2019. Is that all right?
Yeah. So, yeah, to get back to where we were earlier this year, which is one of the lowest unemployment rates in history. I mean, it was a very tight labor market. The U.S. was on its longest expansion ever. To get back to these very high levels of performance, it's going to take several years at the least. And we estimate that the unemployment rate in Texas, and it will peak either in May or June, and then it'll fall in the second half of the year, but still could end the year around 13% unemployment, which is still a very, very high rate of unemployment. So some small businesses won't make it through this, will shut down, many, you know, and it will take a while for new businesses to grow to take those places. And so it's a bad situation.
Adrian Lopez, I want to get back to you, CEO of Workforce Solutions Alamo. When you said that people need to think about what future opportunities might be out there and job training that's available to them, how do they connect with that?
Yeah, definitely. Either through our website at workforcesolutionsalamo.org or our hotline number, which is 210-224-4357. You know, we would encourage folks to reach out to us, because part of the issue here is there still is existing job opportunities. If you were to look in this region and work in Texas, there are approximately about 11,000 job postings today. You know, if we look at other you know, types of databases, there are about 14,000 job postings. Certainly that doesn't match the number of claimants that we have, or unemployment claims. So at some point, you know, what we anticipate is that, you know, as the dollars go away from the CARES funding, the $600 enhancement at the end of July, we're probably going to see a lot of folks coming back to our centers. And, you know, certainly when unemployment benefits end for those who filed around the March or April timeframe, which would probably be around the December timeframe, we'll probably see another flood of folks. So what we're encouraging folks to do is to engage sooner than later, because at this point, given this particular circumstance and what we're seeing, is there may not be, you know, or there may be too much competition for the limited opportunities that are going to be available.
These checks aren't going to last forever either. Let's go to Jenny on the phones. Jenny, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, my question is about the process of either appealing a decision to be denied for benefits or starting all over and reapplying. I worked at a restaurant for less than 6 months, and I'm assuming that the less than 6 months part is why my application was denied. But I did lose my job as a direct result of the pandemic, and I just feel like I would at least like to appeal this decision, and I'm just not sure about the process, whether I should just start all over and reapply, or what exactly that process is. And then also, if the decision is overturned and I am able to get benefits, am I entitled to benefits from the time I lost my job or from the time that the decision is overturned?
Okay. Cisco Gomez with the Texas Workforce Commission. So these benefits, are they available for people who hadn't really been working that long?
So you have to have worked in during the base period. I'm looking up those numbers, but it sounds to me if she has only worked 6 months out of those between right now, the base period is between January 2019 to December 2019. So if you've only worked 6 months, you might not have enough funds, I guess, in your base period to be eligible. Before going into the appeals process, I know you may have some trouble getting through on the phone line, but I would again recommend trying to call early, just checking in before you go to that appeals process, just to make sure you have your information correct so that you're not potentially waiting a little bit of some additional time for an appeals process. So my recommendation is before you go to appeals, try to call in, check the Larry the chatbot on our website as well. It does have a lot of good information. It may be able to get you connected in the right way. So those are my suggestions, Jenny. And I'm going to look up, you can look on our website and type in benefits eligibility, and you can see how that might, what that formula is for your past.
Okay. Experience. We're taking another break. Our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255. We're talking about unemployment, connecting people who have lost their jobs due to the COVID-19 response to the government checks in order to get them through this period. If you've got a question or comment, call in 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The Texas Workforce Commission voted to pull back on child care subsidies for low-income parents and essential workers on Tuesday. This as Governor Greg Abbott launches phase two of the state's attempt to economic jumpstart from the coronavirus shutdown. Essential workers have until today to apply for state child care subsidies, and low-income parents must resume paying their share of subsidized child care as of June 1st. This as Governor Greg Abbott has ended the moratorium on child care in the state. So, Siskel Gomez, if you could tell us more about that. You're the media and public relations specialist for the Texas Workforce Commission. What does it mean that Texas has pulled back on child care subsidies for essential workers?
I wouldn't say that it's pulled back. Prior to COVID-19, parents paid a portion of their cost during COVID-19 while child care centers were closed or only available to essential workers. TWC waived the requirements for parents to pay their portion of their cost. So now that Texas is opening back up under the governor's orders, child care centers are approved to open. So effective June 1, the Texas Workforce Commission is going to reinstate that requirement for parents receiving financial assistance to pay a portion of their cost. So we're just putting it back to the way it was before COVID-19. As children return to those centers, parents will resume paying their share of their child care cost or their portion. Now, if this amount could be adjusted on a case-by-case basis if parents are unavailable or unable to meet those financial obligations. So we understand that part. And the Texas Workforce Commission is continuing to pay providers to help them when children are absent and is currently paying 25% enhanced reimbursement rate above what they regularly receive.
And Adrian Lopez, CEO of Workforce Solutions Alamo, you have been instrumental in helping parents connect with some of these resources here locally. Are you prepared to get back into that game?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, a couple of things in relation to that is we've enrolled 2,300 out of the 2,800 slots that we had available for the essential workers. Or childcare for essential workers. So that's been a great success. And yes, today is the deadline for enrollment. So we would encourage anybody who is interested in that to please reach out to us. The other thing, though, in relation to is, yeah, definitely we have a waiting list for those folks who are still waiting for childcare because childcare is one of those issues that continues to be an issue just across the board. However, we're excited about conversations that the city of San Antonio and Bexar County are having in relation to investments that they're potentially going to make into workforce, including supports that that include childcare for those. And so I would encourage folks to keep an eye out for that and reach out to us because that's going to happen within the next couple of weeks.
And let's go to the phones with Sonia. And Sonia, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just have a question. My facility restaurant closed in the middle of March, and so I went back to work about a week ago, and I So that's my question. I did get a letter from the unemployment because I finally applied in April and saying that I was eligible for 200 and something a week. So my question is, will I still receive that because I went back to work, or how does that work?
As Sonia, as you go back to work, are you still making the same amount of money as you were before?
Because of my history of asthma, instead of me going back 5 days, I decided to just go to work 3 days. Plus, I live with my 68-year-old mother that's a diabetic and asthma, and my father that's 69 years old.
All right.
And so I was a little concerned, you know what I'm saying, of being there for that long period of time.
Okay. So Cisco Gomez, Texas Workforce Commission, Sonia, you know, can she still get the money?
Absolutely. So Sonia should request those payments. She should see those come in. She should receive the benefits for she was eligible for that time that she was not working. Now, once she goes to work full time, she should stop requesting payments every 2 weeks. But if she is working reduced hours, I would encourage her to continue requesting payments. They're going to ask you when you request payments every 2 weeks, if you for her to submit any wages earned, and depending on the amount of wages earned, she may be eligible, she may not be eligible for unemployment. But if she were to even just get $1 of unemployment insurance benefits from Texas Workforce Commission, she would get those additional $600 weekly benefits at least through the end of July. So I would encourage her to, if she's working reduced hours, to continue requesting payments, but when she's working full time, to stop requesting payments.
Now, Cisco Gomez, work search requirements, are they coming back to people who are receiving unemployment? And what does that look like?
So at some point, work search requirements will return. Right now, they are waived due to COVID-19, but Texas is opening back up. Work search requirements are just that you should be searching for work, keeping notes about your work search history, and then accepting any jobs that are, within your realm. So that's something that is going to happen, but we'll give everybody plenty of advance notice, at a minimum 2 weeks notice, that it's coming, and, you know, a week before that, and there'll be multiple announcements and with lots of instructions on how that works.
Adrian Lopez at Workforce Solutions Alamo, can you do work search in order to meet these requirements and still keep safe in the pandemic? And are there best practices for that?
Yeah, definitely. One way is we have on our Workforce Solutions Alamo.org website a Jobs Now platform, basically, or a button. So we're posting all of the jobs that are available today. So certainly people who are on unemployment, and once that requirement comes back, or even before that requirement comes back, they can start to look for a job in that regard or in that space, but also in work in Texas. So approximately out of the 170,000 plus folks who have filed for unemployment, we estimate there are about 111,000 who have already signed up and work in Texas, so they'll be receiving job leads and those types of things. So if they haven't filed for or haven't signed up for work in Texas, we would encourage them to do that as well.
Now, Keith Phillips with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, and you keep an eye on what's happening with certain jobs in different sectors. What's the best job sector to try to get yourself into, looking at what the economy is going to be looking like coming back from this?
Well, I mean, you know, there's short-term and long-term impacts of this, but everyone kind of sees more and more need for technology some of this is temporary as more and more people work from home, and then some of it will be more permanent as more and more people fly less and do conference webinars and other things online. So obviously I think both short-term and long-term it's going to be technology-related communications and computer-related type jobs. But people, you know, right now the industry is most hurt within tourism, hotels, and restaurants. Those will be coming back. But the pace of the way they come back is going to depend on how well we manage this pandemic. And if the spread rate starts declining, so there's a lot of uncertainty about tourism type jobs.
And the development and rollout of a vaccine. Also curious about what's happening to the Texas petroleum industry, Professor Phillips.
Yeah, so one of the reasons that I said, I think I said that the Texas economy will do worse than the nation this year. I talked about San Antonio, but Texas will do worse than the nation because the oil and gas sector. Whenever oil and gas industry goes into a major decline, Texas job growth falls below the national average. So while the overall national and Texas economies will improve in the second half of the year, Texas improvement will be dragged a little bit by the oil and gas sector, which is not expected to see any type of improvement this year. It's going to continue to be a drag.
Agriculture, does that still look solid for Texas? Because we're seeing some shaky ground there as well.
Well, you know, agriculture is mixed with differences in trade policies. It was being hit by trade policies before we came into this. You know, certain ag is, it gets hit by a lot of different things. Moisture conditions actually seem pretty good right now. People are, you know, still eating. They're just not eating at restaurants. So it's a little bit uncertain in the ag front. There's a lot of different things going on.
Backbone for the Texas economy. And so, Adrian Lopez at Workforce Solutions Alamo, really quickly, are you still able to help people in San Antonio find jobs?
Yes, absolutely. As I mentioned earlier, we have about 11,000 postings and work in Texas. Some of the highest sectors that we're seeing folks hiring is in healthcare, IT, some manufacturing, lots of customer service types of positions because of call centers and those types of things, naturally because of what's happening in this area. But there are jobs, and we certainly would want people to call and reach out to us at 210-224-4357.
Do you think that people, if you're getting unemployment checks, that, Adrian, that you should be using this time, this opportunity to train up and look forward to the next big thing?
Yes, absolutely. We would encourage people to take advantage of that because, you know, no one knows at this point about sort of what the future holds. But what we're hearing from industry is that some of the jobs that existed are no longer going to exist. Now, what that looks like, you know, it's anybody's anybody's guess. But if you have the opportunity to be eligible for through funding for us to be able to subsidize training, then now's the time to take advantage of that.
All right, Adrian Lopez, CEO of Workforce Solutions Alamo. Also, Keith Phillips with us. He is a senior economist and with the assistant vice president of the San Antonio branch of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. And also, so many thanks for Cisco Gomez, answered a lot of our questions, media and public relations specialist at the Texas Workforce Commission. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by Ruben Garcia and Dominic Walsh. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.